Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice in Descanso, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. My very special guest today is Dilkhwaz Ahmed. She is the Executive Director of License to Freedom, which is a nonprofit organization in El Cajon. Dilkhwaz, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Marian. Thanks a lot for having me today.
You're welcome. Now, can you start by telling our listeners what the mission is of License to Freedom?
The mission of License to Freedom is to promote nonviolence through community education, self-sufficiency, and advocacy for refugee and immigrants, survivors of domestic violence and sexual abuse.
So you work primarily with refugees and immigrants who've been through these, you know, horrific ordeals, domestic violence or abuse of some sort. But recently you've become involved in working with the newest refugees, the Syrian refugees who come from such a horrific war-torn situation over there.
Right.
So tell us, how many Syrian refugees do we have now here in East County?
We don't have the exact number, but what I know that every day I register about 50 to 60 members every day.
Every single day.
Every single day. So if I can say 2,000, if I say 1,000, but we have a lot. And they still come in. They still come in every day, every day.
Wow. And that's just the Syrians, over 1,000.
Just Syrians,
my
yes.
My goodness. What kind of help are they getting? We've written a couple of articles about this. I know that you did a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner to welcome some of the newcomers here. But it also sounds like that there's just not enough help. A lot of them sounded like they were very worried, living in hotels at $100-something a day with not an easy ability to find housing, since a lot of them have larger families. What do you do to help them when they arrive?
Well, when they arrive, we try to meet them with their immediate necessities. They don't have enough food. They don't have food stamps. They don't have clothes. You know, they came from different culture, different lifestyle. So we try to help them with assimilation. Mm-hmm. And help them with the acculturation, what work, what doesn't work, how to navigate the system, what's that mean to be in a new country. We try to address issues of family violence and support them how to use the healthy communication, listening to each other. Especially, you know, we have a family of 9 people living in 1-bedroom motel.
Well, that's going to be terribly stressful.
Dark, with 2 beds. It's so difficult. They don't have kitchen to cook. Mm. They don't have material. So we try to support them, get them at least a small electric stove, electric pot, electric teapot, some clothes, some shampoo. And we have doctor in our organization. This doctor is provided by a public consulting group to work with our organization. So we provide them with some health literacy, especially most of them, they brought some medication with them, so they don't know how to use it here. So the doctor are helping them. He read it and he go through it, try to support them.
Yeah. What kind of actual aid do they get from the federal government, or for that matter, is there anything from the state when they first arrive? What sort of help, if any, is there for them?
There is not that much help. They have to wait for 2 weeks to get their food stamp. So pretty much for 2 weeks, they don't have anything. Later on, family of 8 or 9, they are getting $1,300 cash, mm-hmm. about $800 food stamp. So the problem is, for a family of 9, they have to rent an apartment with 3 bedrooms. Apartment with 3 bedrooms, it's about $1,600 to $1,650. And they so concerned. They, you know, in Syria for a long time, they don't have any birth control or anything.
Yeah.
So the family, when they arrive, they are 9, family of 11. They don't have money. And in East County, rent is just going up every day.
Yeah, so it's really not even enough to cover rent and necessities by the time you add in utilities.
It's not enough at all.
How long are they able to get that aid?
As long as they have kids under the age of 18.
All right. Are there English language classes for them, job training? What kind of help are they able to receive, and what more is needed to help them become self-sufficient, which obviously I'm sure would be the goal of everyone?
Before everything, they have to learn language. Syria is the only country they don't speak English, you know? Like you see, we have a lot of refugees coming from Iraq, from Afghanistan. They have some limited English, but for Syrian, they study everything is in Arabic. Some of them speak some French, but not English. Mm-hmm. So first we have to focus how to get them go to ESL class. Our organization offer many ESL class, acculturation, health literacy. We offer a lot of services, including how to navigate the system. So we try to involve them in our program and support them in a different way.
Very good. What would you say to the people out there who are concerned about these refugees coming in? We've heard Donald Trump, who says he doesn't want to admit any more Syrian refugees. He's concerned, I guess, about terrorism. There's also some who've raised concerns about just the fact that the community has already absorbed a lot of refugees and resources are strained. But I know these people have been through horrific ordeals. What would your response be to those who have raised those concerns?
Well, I would just say, come and listen to those people. I would say come sit with them and listen to their stories. They are one of the kindest. They are one of the most peaceful. They are here just to live. And they are thankful. They are thankful for every single American who opened their heart before their arm to them. They are not terrorists. We can't just judge them just because they are from Syria. And I think the stories you publish on East County Magazine, those people say, ISIS are not Syrian. We've been victims of ISIS.
Right. They're fleeing the terrorists.
They are. And they've been hurt a lot by ISIS.
Yeah.
If you go, you know, meet with their kids, they just plane, they just fly as a butterfly. They're so happy just to be here, even in this small, you know, motel room. But they are so thankful to be safe. The people tell me all the time, at least we can walk, we can run, nobody bomb us and nobody kill us.
Yeah, I read that in Syria, 80% of the children are at risk. And of course, a lot of them have already been killed or they've been traumatized, witnessing horrible things. I know our reporter Rachel was down there and she interviewed one family where the little girl had actually seen ISIS, I guess, beheading people. It has to be so traumatic for the children. Is there psychological counseling available to
very
help them deal
limited,
with that?
Limited. Like I can say, very limited services for them. We were not expecting that amount of Syrian to arrive. Mm-hmm. We're so happy to have them. We're so happy to be able to help, but the needs are huge. It takes a village.
So what can people do if they're listening right now and they want to get involved and help in some way? Tell us what your organization needs. Again, you are Licensed to Freedom. And it looks like your website is
www.licensetofreedom.org.
Licensetofreedom.org.
You know, through the article, I am so thankful that I got some phone call from some people who want to come and help. But we need more. We are talking about 200 families. What do we need volunteers to come. And you know what? Just show them what real Americans are. Because when I came as a refugee, some American people who came and tapped on my shoulder and they told me, Delquas, it's going to be okay. And you're going to pass through all of the difficulty. And yeah. I am. And
wonderful.
I am. So we want to show them the love that Americans have. We want to show them the respect for refugees because this country built on refugees. So we want to welcome them and support them so they will be able to support others.
Yes. I've heard you say that your hope would be that every one of these Syrian families could have an American family that would sort of adopt and mentor them and keep an eye on them and help in some way.
Exactly. They have a lot of needs. For example, they don't speak English. They don't understand the system. At least just, you know, they have a small food stamp, but they don't know how to use it. Mm-hmm. We try to help them as much as we can, but as I mentioned, I'm the only employee through some volunteers. We try to do the best. But if some people can contact me and say, what we can do so I can link them to those Syrian families.
Yeah.
They are so sweet. They're so poor. But when people go visit them, they try to bring the entire kitchen, you know, coffee, chocolate that they bought from their food stamp and give it to the people who visit them. They're so generous. And I'm sure whoever go visit them, they will love them and they will become so attached to them. So they will never, ever leave them.
Okay. Well, Delquas, I'm so glad you were able to join us here and help educate our listeners a little bit about what the Syrians are going through and what their needs are. We certainly want to stay in touch with you. Keep us posted on how this develops and what new needs you may see out there and how perhaps some of our listeners, you know, who are compassionate can help. Certainly an argument could be made, I think, that even for those who may have concerns about, you know, the number of refugees and so forth, truly the best way to prevent somebody from becoming radicalized is to make them feel included and welcomed and part of society. And so that's certainly what we hope for the best for these people now that they're here, that they can be welcomed by Americans.
And they deserve some chance. Let's give them a chance. Let's not judge them. And I just would like to add that we're going to have a Christmas party. The date is not, you know, to be announced yet.
Oh, wonderful.
So we're just going to show them. And I hope that Santa will contact me, because those people will be, you know, all of the trauma, all of the pain that they've been through, it will go. It's just a good healing if they see real Santa, you know, coming and handing them some gifts. We are, through donation, we're receiving some gifts, but even a toothpaste, if it's coming from Santa, will be really, really, you know, changing the life of those people forever, forever.
Well, that's a wonderful, heartwarming holiday story. We certainly want to thank you for joining us on the show today. And listeners, if you just turned in, we've been speaking with Dilkwaz Ahmed. She is the Executive Director of License to Freedom, which is a nonprofit right here in El Cajon that's dedicated to helping refugees and immigrant families, including currently the hundreds of Syrians that have recently arrived in East County. Dilkwaz, thank you for joining us on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks a lot.